Banks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Five o'clock on Thursday, the 19th of February. Thanks to Chris Quirk for the past couple of hours. I'm Christian Jones and welcome along to Update. 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, significant developments across as the King's brother has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Meanwhile, closer to home, the Department of Infrastructure hopes planned strikes by bus drivers may be suspended. And we'll find out what's happening with the Newcastle Russian High School. All those stories and more on the way for you. As always, get in touch if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email me at studio@manxradio.com. But first, as always, let's get the news headlines with Darren Timpson. First, my Darren.
First, my. Yeah, negotiations aimed at avoiding an upcoming bus strike are continuing. The Department of Infrastructure has made a fourth offer to unite the union. This year's budget is bad for lower earners and the use of reserves is a slippery slope, according to a Ramsey MHK.
And that's the reality, and this is the thing the Treasury won't accept and won't acknowledge publicly, is that anybody who's on a low wage is actually losing out as a result. They are worse off as a result of this budget compared to what Tim Ward had originally proposed back in January.
Laurie Hooper, who voted against the Treasury Minister's financial plan, has hit out against the increase in personal tax allowance. And Quaig Hill has been closed and there will be no access at all until Monday morning. Manx Utilities says it's because of unforeseen ground conditions during excavation. In international news, the King has said the police have his full support and cooperation after his brother, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, was arrested. He's being questioned on suspicion of misconduct in public office relating to his time as the UK's special trade envoy. Andrew has always generously denied any wrongdoing. Elsewhere this afternoon, an aspiring rapper has been found guilty of owning an XR bully dog which killed a 68-year-old woman in February 2024. The court heard Esther Martin suffered dozens and dozens of bite wounds in the attack in Jaywick in Essex. Ashley Warren will be sentenced at a later date. And 75 years of mischief by Dennis the Menace is being marked by a new 50 pence piece. His dog Nasha will also feature on the coin. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Darren Gurumide, thank you very much. Stay where you are, though. I'll come back to you in just a moment. First, let's take a look at the weather, though, brought to you by Manx Gloss and Glazing. There is a yellow warning that's going to be in place tomorrow from 11:30 through till 2:30 in the afternoon for coastal overtopping and minor harbour flooding. Elsewhere this evening, cloudy with the risk of outbreaks of patchy rain at times. Light, mainly southwest winds will first veer west and then freshen later this evening. Minimum temperature of 5 degrees.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbert Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
3 minutes past five now. Darren, if you're still there, hopefully you are. Earlier in the news, you told us negotiations are continuing between the Department of Infrastructure and the trade union Unite over potential bus strikes. We have this afternoon had an update from the government. Can you just give us a flavour of what it's about, please?
Yes. So what we know is the DOI this morning made a fourth offer to the union. It says throughout this week, it's been undertaking consultation talks facilitated by the Manx Industrial Relations Service. Now, the DOI hopes the plan action, which is due to begin from this Saturday, may be suspended. It says that would enable the discussions to continue in a positive way. At the moment, that's all we know. Whether or not we'll see bus drivers on the picket line will likely depend on whether union members think the fourth offer is up to scratch.
All right, Darren, thank you very much for that. And of course, we will keep you up to date with any new developments as they come through. And now some very significant developments happening across today. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested and is in custody on suspicion of misconduct in public office. The King's brother was arrested around 8 o'clock this morning at the Sandringham Estate in Norfolk. Police are now searching addresses in Berkshire and Norfolk, including the Royal Lodge in Windsor, where the former prince lived up until recently. All of this comes after Thames Valley Police said they were assessing a complaint over the alleged sharing of secret information by the former prince with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Well, the BBC's Lucy Manning has been explaining what it all means.
Well, it is a serious charge, and it does involve people who were in positions of authority misusing their office, either for criminal or personal gain. We must stress at the moment they are only allegations, and the police will have more information and research and investigations that they need to do. It is Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's birthday today, and he will have now marked this birthday being arrested by British police. It is fairly, outstanding, astonishing, really, that a member, he's still, is it 8th or 9th in line to the throne, that a member of the royal family, although he doesn't have those royal titles anymore, the king's brother, has been arrested by British police in relation to these Epstein allegations. You know, it goes without saying that even though he is plain Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, he is still deeply connected with the royal family. He has this house now in the grounds of Sandringham, and it will be very, very damaging to the royal family that this arrest has now happened.
The BBC's Lucy Manning there, who broke the story earlier this morning. And it is important to note that Andrew has always strenuously denied any form of wrongdoing. This afternoon, the King issued a statement and says the law must take its course. Robert Jobson is an author. He's also a royal commentator. He's been giving his thoughts too.
To be brutally honest, I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, the how unfortunate it is for the royal family. I feel this. We're missing the point here. It's a bit like the band playing as the Titanic goes down. You know, the reality is the people deserve better than this. The fact was that he is Andrew Mountbatten Windsor now, but when these alleged offences took place, he was certainly a prince of the realm. He was appointed on the say-so of Her Majesty the Queen and the sitting government at the time. So it's 16-odd years ago. It's a long time ago. And it seems odd now that the only action that's being taken now is because the Department of Justice in America released a whole tranche of emails that have been able to be go through by journalists and other organisations. And that is the only reason the police have got involved, and that is the only reason we're at this state at the moment. And I agree that the monarch has given a good statement today. It's nothing to do with him. In fact, he didn't really want his brother to have the job as an envoy. He didn't think he was qualified. He thought it'd be a mistake. Before that role was taken by the Duke of Kent. There were no scandals on his watch. So I think that people didn't listen to the King at the time. And now he's unfortunately a man, you know, who's fighting cancer, who's actually doing a courageous job, I think, in his role, is having to deal with all this. But it has far-reaching consequences, and I don't think we should. So, you know, it's all well and good the royal family saying, yeah, they carry on and do their duty, but people will want answers. And I understand he can't speak because it's an ongoing criminal investigation, but this has taken 16 years or so, and the involvement we've known about Epstein has been a very long time. So I think that the issue will be who knew what, when they knew it, and why things weren't done at the time. And I think unless we get to grips with that, then, you know, we can look at what the situation is for the monarchy going forward.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 5:09. Now, when will we see the new Castle Rushen High School? Not in this administration. And it seems as though claims made by previous ministers that Spades could be in the ground as early as this summer are fading into the distance. The Treasury Minister's Pink Book made no mention of the project, which has been a point of contention for many of the Southern MHKs, so much so they voted against the budget. Speaking on Manx Radio Breakfast this morning, Chris Thomas was discussing whether it's still a priority.
Capital projects in the past haven't always gone well. It's taken so long between Tim Wood approval and costs, gathering costs and starting, that there's been cost inflation before we even started. There's also been an optimisation bias. So Tim Wood expressed huge concern back in 2021 when they discovered the Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool was expected at that point to cost £70 million when they thought it was only going to cost £38 million. million or whatever it was. You've got to do things right. And we're now in a situation where we've got a better understanding of the costs. The construction sector is also making representations to us. So we're making great progress.
But you're not confident about spades being in the ground in the summer, because actually did the education department actually not have confidence there would be spades in the ground?
So the Chief Minister said that by the end of this administration, we'd have a full report on exactly where we are in respect of Castle Rushen High School. And when they do that, they'll also be able to say where they are in terms of the appeal Queen Elizabeth II stem block, because that's a longer standing project.
So any timeline then on spades in the ground at Castle Rushen first and foremost?
Well, the most important thing is the reserves are scarce. We need to have a national infrastructure strategy. We've got to spend money on capital schemes much greater than just Castle Rushen High School. So therefore we've got £50 million a year for the next 5 years.
So Castle Rushen High School not a priority?
That could be enough for Castle Rushen High School.
But is it a priority for your
There are 30 projects. It's not about whether it's my department. My department just runs a properly designed process.
But what I'm asking is the Castle Rushen High School, a new school, a priority still?
It is. It's one of the 30 schemes in the Project Development Fund, three of which are in operation, 25 or so of which are in process of development, and Castle Rushen High School's top of that list.
That's the Treasury Minister Chris Thomas speaking on Manx Radio Breakfast earlier this morning. If you want to hear the full interview, it is available at manxradio.com. Now, government is facing questions over the makeup of the Minimum Wage Committee following concerns that one of its members may not legally be allowed to sit on the body. Lewis is here with me now with the details. Fastamai, Lewis.
Fastamai, Christian. Yeah, so this centres on Bill Galley, who's been a workers' representative on the Minimum Wage Committee for several years now. In April last year, he was elected to the Castletown Town Commissioners. And so the issue is that the Minimum Wage Act 2001 says anyone who's a member of Timwall, the statutory board or a local authority, is disqualified from serving on that committee.
So by becoming a commissioner, that's where he could fall foul of that rule?
Potentially, yes. The Attorney General told Timwall the legislation without doubt disqualifies someone who's subsequently appointed to a local authority from continuing on the committee. However, what that means in practice depends on the circumstances. The Minimum Wage Committee is a statutory body. Its advice is used by the government when setting the island's legal minimum wage. If someone not lawfully eligible took part in decisions, there could be questions about whether those decisions were made within the law, what lawyers call ultra vires, meaning beyond legal authority.
I suppose the big question is, there's been a lot of talk about minimum wage lately, a U-turn on a previous government decision too. Could that affect any recent recommendations?
It could, depending on how votes were cast. The Attorney General believes if a disqualified member's vote actually changed the outcome, for example, in a split decision, there may be scope for challenge, but it's less likely to be an issue if decisions were unanimous.
Okay. What is the government saying?
So Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston has acknowledged the committee's composition now needs to be reviewed. The Department for Enterprise is already looking at the committee's wider role as part of employment law reform, but it's not clear whether membership eligibility is part of that review. And we have approached both the government and Mr. Galley for comment on this.
All right, Lewis, thank you very much for that. Let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Okay, we'll start on the roads to begin with. Quayside Hill has been closed, no access at all until 7 Monday morning. Manx Utilities is telling us that's because of unforeseen ground conditions during excavation. In Braddon, temporary lights on Cool Road near the Business Park, also on Braddon Road just up from Braddon Bridge. In Union Mills, we've got temporary lights on Strang Road, 24 hours a day for drainage work. And in near Kirkmichael, the Balalai Road, that's closed for resurfacing. Down at the Steam Packet, everything is looking like it's running to time there. One thing to be aware of at the airport, the 10 past 8 Loganair from London City, that on my screen has been cancelled. But aside from that, everything else is running to time.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, a Douglas North MHK has accused government of continuing to drift without putting things in order for future generations. John Wannenberg says he doesn't believe enough is being done to control the use of reserves. He voted against this year's budget, saying something has to change.
We need to secure the future for our younger people. And that budget, whilst it has some very pleasant things in it, doesn't do that.
This is not the first time you voted against the budget. In fact, the records would attest that you've only supported one budget so far.
Well, that would be correct. If we're going to vote the budget just simply to make life easy for everybody, then you've got the wrong politician. The last four times I voted against it, pretty much for the same sort of reasons, but then we've got large problems. You know, Phil, it's much like a boxing bout. I'm a boxing fan. You know, you can win a couple of rounds, but if you lose the fight, you've lost the fight.
That said, though, it is a bit of a war of attrition trying to run a government. Do you not think that government is doing its best in the circumstances to try and find the best solution for the island?
Look, I've no doubt they're doing their best, but is it good enough? No. And I'm not saying I've got all the answers, but my job as a backbencher is to probe where there are weaknesses, and that's what I'm going to do. You cannot improve health and social care unless you have created the prosperity to do so. And that is down to all of us as politicians, but particularly down to Treasury. And that was not addressed in the budget. And these are things I need to highlight because I'm a backbencher. Now, if I was a minister, then maybe I would take a glowing reference like possibly some of those people have done. But I'm not, and I won't.
Douglas North MHK, John Wannenberg there. Now, the leader of Douglas Council believes government needs to be investing the same amount into social housing as it does luxury apartments. Devon Watson says the government's plan to put £8.5 million every year for 5 years into the Housing Deficiency Fund is welcomed, but it needs to be accelerated.
I mean, it really just depends on how sort of Department of Infrastructure and Treasury decides to allocate that funding, right? So it's one of those in which we personally are quite keen to expand the amount of social housing, but also over the long term, what Douglas is quite keen to do is make social housing a lot more financially sustainable. So our goal is to sort of move toward a system where social housing sort of pays for itself. And you can do this by getting on top of certain maintenance programs, by accelerating your investment within properties, building a lot more new properties, lower down that sort of like day-to-day average cost. And then you have the ability to move to a point where by having a more efficient set of rent-setting policies, you can create a housing that is a lot more self-sustaining, and that leaves a lot more money remaining for other local authorities. So depending on how efficient and competitive we become over the next few years, it depends on how far that money goes. But ultimately, when we look at the scale of the problem and the scale of the crisis on the island, we'd obviously like it to be much higher. We would like to see this government invest a lot more in social housing, particularly given the fact that we're spending about at least twice as much on subsidizing luxury housing developments as we are subsidizing social housing. It's really important that we end up really investing back into our communities and reinvesting back into working middle class communities.
Leader of Douglas Council, Devon Watson, speaking there. 18 minutes past five. Let's turn to some good news now. A 7-year-old boy who loves animals has decided to raise funds for the Manx SPCA. This is Charlie. He's hoping to hand over £1,000 to the charity at the end of March. He loves being creative and has been 3D printing classic plastic animals and giving them to those who donate to his cause. Charlie and his mum, Sarah, have been speaking to Chanel Sugu.
I'm making money, but not for me, for the MSPCA. I am nearly at 1,000, which is my target. I 3D print all the animals.
He's quite kind-hearted and always wants to help people, and everything that he does is always going to do this for somebody else. He's into sewing machine as well, so he likes to make cushions and a sewing machine. It's always all been animal related, hasn't it?
Yep.
You made a cushion for your doctor at Nobles, didn't you, at Christmas?
And the design was a dog.
What's the easiest one to design?
Probably the Cali Cats, which we are 3D printing that can stack on top of each other. The tiny ones only take like 26 minutes. The 5-hour octopus, which we are still 3D printing right now. It is pretty big too.
So if someone wants to get one of these from you, do they make the donation and they say, right, this is the animal that I want, or?
Yeah, that's what they do. And also, we do have a link which they can say what they want and donate.
Why did you choose the Minx SPCA?
Well, it was just the first one that came to mind. I am thinking of doing other ones after I do this one, maybe.
Do you visit the charity quite often?
I've visited it once, but...
Yeah, a couple of times, actually, haven't we? We went on Saturday. What happened on Saturday when you went?
We saw the bunnies and this one cat, which kept on, like, when we tried to stroke it, just rubbed its head against our hands. Some were, like, so fluffy, and I just loved them. I just wanted to really help.
How much are you hoping to raise?
So my target is 1,000, but we might raise a bit more.
He prints the longer ones overnight, and before school he puts another print on. He comes home and he checks it, and yeah, he did a custom one, his first custom one yesterday, was it? I was at work for a friend of his dad's, and it was a custom of their dog, and he made a little stand for it with the dog's name on it. It was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they loved it, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
How important is the work that these animal charities do?
Really important. They've been saving them, and I just wanted to really help.
Charlie and his mum, Sarah, there speaking to Chanel Suku. Maybe if I donate, I'll be able to get a plastic bear. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Now, a Ramsey businessman says a constructive debate must be held on how and when the mountain road is closed. This is Captain Kuba Szymanski of Ramsey Shipping Services. He's questioning whether the route from Ramsey to Douglas over the mountain should be shut off as often as it is. He says he's already approached others on the matter too.
Year on year, we are getting more days without mountain road.
Dare I suggest the weather's getting worse?
Then you would say then we should be warmer. Therefore, we should have less snow and so on and so forth. We're getting, by the look of it, stronger winters again.
What would be the answer?
This is not a criticism. So please do not slam immediately on DOI and this and that. Don't. Because as soon as you blame somebody, discussion stops. And then people came up and said, yes, we think that, first of all, our driving is worse than it used to be. Decision making nowadays is influenced by social media. Who wants to make a decision only to be criticized later? So if you leave the mountain road open and there is a fatal accident, who is brave enough to take a blame for it? So better close it. Now, this is not a very safe environment if we discuss things like that. So that's why let's have a proper discussion. Now we are starting to see the mountain road closed because of the strong winds. This is a new element. I would like to see, and I couldn't find, an accident caused by the wind. I am not advocating that we have to have an accident to react to it. No, I'm far from it. But I am afraid whenever we've got a strong wind and we close the mountain road, we are actually displacing all traffic through the roads with the high branches flying. That's even worse, isn't it? What we are not seeing, at least people in Ramsey are telling me, we are not being treated as a stakeholders. We are never asked. We are just informed this is happening. And when I'm thinking about that from the business point of view, if we know then we will have a road closure because we need to have a maintenance, maybe we should coordinate that with lack of maintenance on other roads which will be heavily used, instead of having traffic lights on the Laxey Road together with completely closed road on the mountains.
Captain Kuba Szymanski there speaking. The Department of Infrastructure has been contacted for comment. Love to hear your thoughts on this. To what extent does the mountain road affect you? Text WhatsApp to 166 177. Now, a heritage campaigner says there's nothing to fear from an area being granted conservation area status. Charles Gard has been reacting to a public consultation which opens on proposals to designate Douglas Head as such an area. Mr. Gard says if it goes ahead, it doesn't mean nothing can ever be changed, just that greater care would need to be taken.
There's just so many things that have happened up here in the last 200 or 300 years. It was the prime place for entertainment. Around the back of Manx Radio here is the old Piero Theatre. There's the Camera Obscura, there's the bathing. It's just an iconic place. Tens, hundreds of thousands of people would come up here every year during the height of our tourist industry. And I think because of its profile that you see it from across the bay when you're coming in on the harbour, I just felt, along with David Wertheim, that it should be a conservation area, which means that any alterations would have to be given special consideration. Like, for example, the large block of flats that has been given permission to be built right in front of Manx Radio. Now, had this been a conservation area, I think there would have been more careful consideration of that.
And this consultation looks for feedback on proposals to designate Douglas Head as a conservation area, like you say. What would that actually mean in practice?
Essentially, it means that all planning must be given a separate or an enhanced overview. If you become a registered building or a conservation area, it's something to be frightened of. It doesn't mean you can never do anything. It just means that greater care is taken. And there would be restrictions, yes, and considerations that the profile of the head could only change if it was in greater national interest. Whereas at the moment, if an area isn't a conservation area, like St John's isn't, for example, which is just extraordinary, they've been talking about that for 30 years and never got round to it, things that can happen there that if it was a conservation area, probably wouldn't. So it's a very valuable way of preserving the heritage we have.
Charles Gard speaking there. Right, let's take a look at the latest sports, and we're brought to you now by the Print Shed. Rob Pritchard's here with me. Fastamai, what can you tell us?
Fastamai, so first of all, Manx cyclist Matthew Bostock will soon begin his campaign at the 2026 Lloyds National Track Championships. The Ireland competitor is set to take on the men's endurance events at the meeting, which is being held at the Manchester Velodrome from today until Sunday. He joins a star-studded list of riders expected to take part across the men's and women's races at a meeting, which will feature Olympic, world and European champions, both past and present. Well, session one of this year's championship, which Bostock was not involved in, took place this afternoon, and this also comes shortly after Bostock confirmed his move to a new team, the British continental side Rafa CC, earlier this month. Also among the major GB names to be involved in this year's National Track Championships are Matthew Richardson, Josh Charlton, Anna Morris and Emma Finucane. Elsewhere, two Isle of Man national netball sides are gearing up for an international tournament taking place this weekend. The Manx Rams and Isle of Man mixed team are taking part in the World Netball Quad Nations Series being held at Brunel University in London from Friday to Sunday. Furthermore, this will be the first time the Isle of Man has fielded a mixed team at an official international competition. Four nations will be involved in the series, with the Isle of Man set to face teams from France, Malta and Switzerland. And in motorsports, entries have now opened for this year's Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT events. Organisers of both events are now accepting applications to take part, with both meetings to run alongside one another during a near two-week period from Sunday the 16th of August to Friday the 28th of August. For the Manx Grand Prix, officials are advising any entrants to apply for a spot in the meeting as early as possible to allow time for processing and documentation checks. Meanwhile, the Classic TT, which returned last year after a six-year absence, will include two new races in 2026, the Junior 600 and Ultra Lightweight categories.
Good, Maya. Thank you, Rob. I heard a rumour that you're going to be competing in the TT this year. Is that true? I've just made that up.
I was going to say, you've definitely made that up. I can categorically confirm that is not the case.
That's worth a try. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Darren Timpson. Do remember that we'll be live from Lukey's in Douglas tomorrow for a special budget programme with the Treasury Minister. Live audience too. Lots of things to dissect as we continue to analyse the Pink Book. That's happening from 5 tomorrow. If you can't make it, we will be broadcasting the discussion in full and, of course, available as a podcast later on. Until then, though, have a good evening. Take care. Bye-bye for now.